Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
And Lord Krishna affirms the same truth
in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 7. Mata parataram nanyat. There is nothing above me, Lord Krishna. So, the conception of oneness, as overly stressed by the impersonalist, is also accepted by the personalist devotee of the Lord. The difference is that the impersonalist denies personality in the ultimate issue, whereas the devotee gives more importance to the personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam explains this truth in the verse under discussion. Lord Vasudeva is one without a second, but because he is all powerful, he can expand himself as well as display his omnipotencies. The Lord is described here as omnipotent by three energies, tree, shakti, drink. So primarily his three energies are internal, marginal, and external. This external energy is also displayed in the three modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Similarly, the internal potency is also displayed in three spiritual modes, Samvit, Sandini, and Gladini. The marginal potency of all the living entities is also spiritual, Prakritim Vidhi Me Param. But the living entities are never equal to the Lord. The Lord is Nirasta Samya Atishaya. In other words, no one is greater than or equal to the Supreme Lord. So the living entities, including even such great personalities as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, are all subordinate to the Lord. In the material world also, in his eternal form of Vishnu, he maintains and controls all the affairs of the demigods, including Brahma and Shiva. Sri Jamitam Niyuktoham Haro Harati Tadvasha Vishram Purusha Rupena Paripati Tri Shakti Drink. By his will I create, Lord Shiva destroys, and he himself, in his eternal form as the personality of Godhead, maintains everything. He is the powerful controller of these three energies. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Presta Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaur Vaikuchari Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vastuja Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Adhara Shri Vastani Kaura Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is discussing a number of interconnected points. The verse is spoken by Lord Brahma, who is being questioned by Narada Muni. Narada Muni has expressed some surprise or maybe confusion, but at least a lack of clarity that you are such a big important person. I thought you were the Supreme. But now I have seen that you are worshipping someone who you're accepting us as, you know, if you're worshiping, means you're really placing that person on, in a higher position. So you're worshiping someone as if they're really very much higher than you. So, so please explain. That's what Lord Brahma is doing. He's explaining that, yes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, is higher than me, is basically, at least, the highest. Therefore, I worship him. Who is Vasudev? Well, of course, it's Krishna, but it's particularly, it's very in specific terms, it's Krishna as he appears within the material world as the son of Vasudev. And for that matter, as he lives in the spiritual world, also as Vasudev. It means basically Krishna in Mathura, Krishna in Dwarka also. This is Vasudev. Krishna is particularly the son of Vasudev when he's in Mathura and Dwarka. When he's in Vrindavan, he's the son of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. And in transcendental ways, there are differences between Krishna as Vasudev and Krishna as Nanda Nandan. Sometimes there's sort of the grammar of it is that in some cases where someone is the son of a person who the first vowel of their name is A, then the son, I mean A means shorthand, then the son may get the same name, but now with a long name. So you have Vasudev and Vasudev. Whereas Krishna, even though Nanda also has a short A, but there are other grammatical considerations. So Krishna does not become, when he's the son of Nanda Maharaj, he does not become Nanda. That's just, anyway, such is life, such is Sanskrit grammar. But he just becomes the son. Yeah, Nanda Sutta, for example. Nanda Sutta, the son of Nanda Maharaj. Or we mentioned Nanda Nandan, just refers to Krishna as he who is the darling son, very dear son of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan. So, anyway, the thing is, here, Lord Brahma is clarifying to Narayana, who's placed these very important questions before him, because it's so important to understand who is supreme. Otherwise, one may make some foolish mistake and worship someone as if they're supreme, but they're not, and they may really be not worthy even of worship, perhaps. And this is from a certain perspective, this is one of the most important things to understand. Who is our source? Who are we dependent on? And therefore, who must we render service to? So, Lord Brahma is saying that it's Krishna, but Krishna as Vasudeva. And in this context here, he is referring to Vasudeva as being Vishnu. As being Vishnu. By his will, I create, that's Lord Brahma. Lord Shiva destroys. And he himself, in his eternal form as the personality of Godhead, maintains everything. So who maintains, actually? It is Vishnu. Vishnu. In other words, here, Lord Brahma is referring to those three, Brahma, Shiva, Vishnu, who have functions within the material world. And he's describing these things to Narayana in these terms because they are living within the material world. Lord Brahma is very much within the material world. So he's explaining to the Lord, to Narayana, why he is worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Vishnu within this material world. And he's referring to Vishnu as the Personality of Godhead who maintains everything. Yes, Lord Vishnu is the maintainer in the classic type of version, which is referred to here. Brahma creates, then Vishnu maintains, then Shiva destroys within this material world. And the point is made that creating and destroying, they are not so hard. They may not be easy also, but they're not so hard like maintaining for a long period of time, maintaining something which by its own nature has the tendency to deteriorate. It has that tendency towards destruction. Lord Shiva may be the destroyer, he is the destroyer. But even if there was no Lord Shiva, the material world would eventually, other than Vishnu maintaining it, which he, arguably could do indefinitely, but otherwise the material world is just going to destroy, fall to pieces anyway, because that's the nature of matter. We mentioned that on Christmas Day, when we were reading from the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna asked Krishna, who are you? What's your mission? What is your business here? And Lord Krishna says, Kalosmi Lokakshaya Kriyata Pravritta. That I am time, and my mission, my business, what I'm here for as time, is to destroy everything. So as time goes on, distraction inevitably occurs. It is not really a question of if it will or maybe. Yes. So at a certain point, Lord Vishnu withdraws his maintaining potency. Lord Shiva takes up his role of destroying. But simply based on the fact that Lord Vishnu withdraws his maintaining potency means everything is just going to fall to pieces sooner or later anyway. It would take perhaps a lot longer than when Lord Shiva gets in and just smashes everything to pieces. But even if everything was not broken up, crushed, and obliterated by Lord Shiva, it would eventually end up in the same sort of condition, just raw matter, unmanifest matter. So Srila Prabhupada discusses these three functions, creation, maintenance, and distraction. And Prabhupada makes this point that to create is not so difficult, not that it's necessarily easy, but it's not so difficult, and destroying also generally is not so difficult. But maintaining something, particularly for a long time, this material world, during the course of the day of Brahma, it's maintained for 8,640,000,000 years to maintain matter. So it's all keeping together, fitting together, functioning properly. To maintain the material creation for billions of years, Prabhupada makes the point that only the Supreme Personality of Godhead can do that. Someone else could create, someone else could destroy, but to maintain, really, only the Supreme Personality of Godhead can do that. Therefore, Lord Vishnu, who is a form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he takes that role. Otherwise, Lord Brahma, he is a conditioned soul, basically. Usually a very advanced conditioned soul, but still a conditioned soul. And Lord Shiva, he's in a special category. But in certain extremely important ways, he's not on the level of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's on a lower level. The example given by Lord Brahma himself in Brahma Samhita is the example of the difference between milk and yogurt. From milk you can make yogurt and so many other things. But once you've got yogurt, you can't sort of unmake it back into milk. It's fixed. So, in that example given by Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, or Krishna, or particularly Vishnu in this world, is like the milk. And milk can be transformed into many different things. In Lithuania, of all places, they have a very traditional milk culture. And they have plus or minus 25 different preparations which are sold in shops. Shishi Radha Radha Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Shri Giri Govardhan Ki. Here we have milk, cream, butter, cheese, yogurt, buttermilk, amasi asakaya, or different sorts of mass of sour things. So we have several, perhaps. They have 25. Yeah, they have 25. All different variations, and it's just part of the culture. So from, and they're all from milk. From yogurt, you can make butter, a type of butter, and then you can get buttermilk. But that's sort of, or you can make shrikant. That's nice. Shrikant. You don't know what shrikant is. You've wasted 20% of your money. It is yogurt, which has had all the liquid extracted through just hanging in, yeah, like that. Something like a very fine cheesecloth. And so it's the solid, and then it's sweetened. It's a sweet.
Like a cream cheese
in a way. Yeah, something like that. Anyway, someone, give him some shrikant, save him. Yeah. No, it's just super excellent shrikant. It is really nice. So from yogurt, you can make a few things, but you can make a lot more from milk, because milk is, you could say it's on a higher level. It's the original source. So Lord Shiva, he's special. He's their element, in his nature, they're elements of the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Some elements, but not so many. And therefore he's not considered to be exactly directly a form of the Lord, like Nrisinga, Kurma, Varaha, Ramachandra, they're directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's in another category. So, and here we're talking about the material world, maintaining the material world. It's material. But still the point here is that even though it's material, it's not spiritual, but to maintain it is such a thing. No material person can do it. No conditioned soul. Even Lord Shiva, who is, got, as we said, some elements of the nature of the Supreme Lord in himself, but even he can't maintain it. Only the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, in one of his complete forms, he is the only one who is capable of maintaining it. And for that matter, creation, we said it may not be so hard, but not that it's easy, and therefore only someone who's on the level of Lord Brahma can do the creation, because it's really, even though it's easier than maintaining, but not that it's easy at all. And Prabhupada explains elsewhere that sometimes if there is not a conditioned soul available who has the qualification that he could become Lord Brahma and then do the creation, sometimes that happens. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead sometimes also incarnates as Lord Brahma. Yeah. So this is the Supreme Lord keeping an eye on things within this material world and seeing that everything goes on. So, just an interesting little point, which Prabhupada refers to in the purport, that Lord Brahma is saying that Lord Vishnu, the Personality of Godhead, the maintainer of the material world, is the powerful controller of the three energies which were referred to in the previous verse. the Lord's powerful material energies. So he is the controller of these three energies. Elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, you may have seen it, I think it's in the first canto. Anyway, it's in the earlier parts. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is addressed as the Lord of different types of threes. Have you heard that? Different types of threes. There's, three of this, three of that, three of different things, and he's the Lord of them. So the Bhagavatam refers to him as such. It's interesting. First of all, he's the Lord of these three, Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu. That's the first three who he's the Lord of, then is the Lord of the three within this world, three material energies, goodness, passion, ignorance, these three gunas, three modes of material nature, he's the Lord of them. Then, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, he's also the Lord of the three spiritual potencies. Samvit, Sandini, and Ladini. We refer to Sat, Chit, Ananda. Eternity, knowledge or consciousness, and bliss. They're sort of like the states or the conditions of those things. But the actual energies which those things are composed of, the energy of eternity is Sandini. The Sandini Shakti is an actual energy, the manifestation of which is the state of eternity. Samvit is, Sandini in Sanskrit, Sat, means eternity. The energy is the Sandini potency. Then Chit is the consciousness or knowledge potency, which is known as Samvit. The Samvit potency produces the manifests as the chit or conscious nature. And then Kladini is the pleasure potency. Ananda, the state of Ananda, occurs when there's contact with the Kladini potency or the potency of bliss. So these are the three spiritual energies, three material energies, and three material modes at least, and then three spiritual potencies, Satchitananda, Sandini, Samvit, and Ladini. And then there are other threes also. For example, there is the internal potency, the marginal potency, and the external potency. There's another three, and there are others too, if one cares to sort of explore the matter. Okay, thank you. He doesn't know about Shrikant, but he knows about Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. That's a good start. You'll get to Shrikant. It's arguably a slightly higher level. Yeah, but they're different. He's the Lord of all types of threes, and they're different types of threes. Existing. Even, you know, arguably another three is the material world, the Vaikuntha realm, and Goloka Vrindavan. Anyway, but you get these threes, they're important. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Lord of all of them. So Srila Prabhupada in the purport, he does focus on another aspect of all of this, is that the conception of one without a second, that the one is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he quotes, Prabhupada quotes the last line of Bhagavad Gita 7:19, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, which says, you know, to translate it literally, it just means Vasudeva Krishna. Thus great is everything. That's what it says. That a devotee, a person who progresses in spiritually and becomes a devotee, when they really become advanced in spiritual understanding, then they understand Vasudeva Sangamiti. Krishna is everything. So that suggests, obviously, oneness. Oneness. Vasudeva is everything. That's oneness. But Prabhupada, in the purport, goes to some lengths to explain that it's not just sort of a complete total oneness from top to bottom or beginning to end. There's an aspect where there's oneness, but then there are other aspects where there's difference. And this is a very important thing to grasp. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, in one purport in the first canto, Srila Prabhupada makes the point that if one is too much attached to the idea of oneness, even though the oneness is a reality to some degree, but if one becomes too much attached to it and thinks that there's nothing other than the oneness, then, of course, one is an impersonalist. But Prabhupada then makes the point, because our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya, and actually the philosophy of Lord Krishna and Bhagavad Gita too, is Achintya Veda Ve Tattva, that there's oneness and difference at the same time. How could there be oneness and difference? Well, it's called achintya. Achintya. That word came out yesterday in the class. Achintya means inconceivable. Chintya. Chintya means that which can be thought of. Consciousness. Well, chint, we mentioned. Consciousness. Chinta. Chinta is derived from chit. Chinta means basically, if chit means conscious, chinta means consciousness or conceivable, something that your conscious mind can grasp. But then achintya means inconceivable. So somewhat, it's called achintya bed abedtattva. Bed means different from, abed means not different from. Tattva means truth or reality, but it's achintya. The somewhat inconceivable conception that reality exists in a state of oneness, but simultaneously difference. So, and maybe just to illustrate, we can give an example. That we are all individuals. Each one of us is an individual. We are different. But at the same time, each one of us is a South African. There's oneness there. So if something happens to South Africa, it happens to us because we're part of South Africa. You know, if Mozambique invaded South Africa or Namibia and they took over, or how about Zimbabwe? Anyway, let's not get into politics, but if some other nation came and took over South Africa, then it means they take over you too, because you're part of South Africa. You cannot just say, well, look, you know, thanks very much for the opportunity, but I think I'll remain independent. Because you're part of it, but at the same time you're an individual. This is just an illustration. So Prabhupada makes that point, that if you get too much into the oneness, you become an impersonalist. But if you get too much into the difference, that I'm just an individual, I can just do what I like, no one can tell me anything at all, I will simply do my own thing, then, you know, of course it's not really very possible, but if a person were to try to do like that, then they would become like, it's just a recipe for blatant materialism. I am the enjoyer, and I will just do what I feel I want to do for me. So one will go too far on that side. So there has to be the balance between oneness and difference. We are part of Krishna, therefore we have to serve him. As the hand is part of the body, it has to serve the body. It can't just go and do its own thing. Sometimes we joke that sometimes people say, can you lend me a hand? What then? You cut off your hand. Here, take it. Give it back later. Not very practical. So the hand is part of the body, but the hand is the hand. It has its own particular nature, capabilities, and, you know, can do many things. But because it is a limit, it's limited, then many things it can't do. At least in a material body, your hand cannot see, your hand cannot eat or hear. It can do many other things very nicely. So it's part of the whole, the body. So we are part of Krishna, and therefore we should play our role as part of the whole. We should serve Krishna. But how to serve Krishna? We serve in our individual ways. We have our particular services, particular duties, and not someone else's, like this. This is different manifestations of life in terms of oneness and difference. Yeah. So then the devotee is a person who recognizes this, who understands this, that I'm part and parcel of Krishna. As an individual, I'm part and parcel of Krishna. Therefore, I should play my part, my natural role as part of the whole. I should serve. And this is the life of a devotee, serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because it's our natural position, not some unnatural position, then when you, as you get into it nicely, one becomes very happy and satisfied. Very happy and satisfied. Whereas on the other hand, the impersonalists, they tend to fall down. You know, that some very famous impersonal institutions have become charitable institutions on the basis of sort of quasi-spiritual or actually pseudo-spiritual principles, like the principle that, according to them, service to man is service to God. Therefore, if we serve man, very good. Serving God. But unfortunately, it's not true. Service to man is service to man, and service to God is service to God. This is impersonalism, that service to man is service to God. Prabhupada, some people once, it's in the conversations books, some people came to Prabhupada, he was preaching to them, and telling them they should become devotees. But they said, well, we have our own path, because you know, service to man is service to God. And Prabhupada, as always so brilliant, Prabhupada turned it around that, well, if service to man is service to God, then service to God must be service to man also. Must be. And they were stumped. No one had ever thrown that, no one had thought of that before. And then Prabhupada, the next point was, what is easier? Krishna says, offer me with devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, Patra Krishna Balantaya, and I've accepted. But you're going to serve 7 billion human beings. You're going to do that and satisfy them and look after them so they are just fine. No, you're not going to be able to do that. It's just, you know, it's a hopeless task, completely hopeless task, actually. There's another story that one of the Rockefellers, very wealthy American Jewish family, was attending a conference in Calcutta about alleviating poverty. And one communist, Naxalite they were called in those days, young communist, approached him and said, Mr. Rockefeller, you've got so much money. Here you are in the conference for alleviating poverty. Why don't you just give all your money and alleviate all the poverty? Because Mr. Rockefeller at that time, you know, maybe he had, for argument's sake, $7 billion. And Mr. Rockefeller said, okay, listen, I'll think about it, come back, see you tomorrow. So the next day, the fellow came back, Mr. Rockefeller gave him $1 and said, here, look, I've decided I agree with you. This is your share. $1. And that's it. Because now he's bankrupt. So, yeah, service to man is service to God. This is a very mistaken conception. But service to God is service to man. Yeah. When we serve Krishna, because everyone's part and parcel of Krishna, when Krishna is satisfied, everyone else benefits. So this is the life of the devotee. Understanding, I'm part of Krishna, but as myself, not that I then merge and somehow just become assimilated into Krishna, but as myself, as an individual, I'm part of him. I'm his energy, so let me serve him and try and please him. And like this, the devotee has become very happy. Whereas the impersonalists, they fall down into, you know, if not just back into material activity in the general sense, but at least they tend to fall down into charitable material, like mode of goodness type activity, and lose their spirituality. And the materialists, those who really try to exploit the difference and do their own thing and try to enjoy in this world, well, they're really not happy. They're really not satisfied. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? Devotees. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. I noticed that Prabhupada smashes a lot of people, but for that particular person, why did he turn it off so nicely? He could have just said Krishna is the only way you have to serve Krishna, but I noticed that he was very calm in that sense, and he took someone that was so one way, and he completely
understand the question. How was Prabhupada able to do it?
I've just read a lot of his books, and in a lot of books, he says something that's that way, and it's no second.
Yeah.
But in that circumstance, he took that person's idea and morphed it. Right. So that you serve God, you serve your man.
Yeah.
Should we take that lesson and apply it to
our preaching?
Standing to our world.
You know, Prabhupada, I was once present. Prabhupada, in Bhaktivedanta Nama, Prabhupada told this young couple, "You are no better than cats and dogs." And they agreed, "You're right." Because, you know, the conversation had just kind of developed in such a way that they agreed. But then they left. And Prabhupada said, "I may be able to say things like that, but you may not be able to us." So, you know, the famous chopping technique of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, just, you know, smashing, grinding them into paste. It may not be so practical. And we are individuals, we are not Prabhupada. So, you know, we should follow in his footsteps. We shouldn't just imitate him. And so we should preach and try and influence people and, you know, help them understand and so on like that. But experience tends to show that smashing people, unless you're accepted enough by them, that, you know, if you smash them, they're going to say, "Actually, you're right." Unless you're accepted enough by them, then you have to be, you know, very personal and try and see what may be the most effective way to help them so that they'll be able to grasp it. Yeah. But the basic principle is we should try and help the people differently, because they desperately need help. It is just unbelievable. Yeah. Thank you. Even there's one little story Giriraj Swami told me. He was walking towards Prabhupada's rooms in Bombay, Mumbai, when one gentleman came out of Prabhupada's room, like a businessman, kind of affluent person, and the man was angry. The man was angry. And he walked past Giriraj Maharaj. Giriraj Maharaj, you know, greeted him, "Hare Krishna." The man didn't even look at him. He didn't say anything. He just left. He was upset. And Maharaj went into Prabhupada's room. Prabhupada was sitting with his one hand on his head. And Prabhupada said, "You know, it may not be such a good idea to tell people Ramakrishna is a rascal." And that was told to me by Giriraj. So Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada was very personal when he preached. He didn't just go around smashing people left, right, and center. It was not his normal thing that if there, you know, you present some wrong argument, then he just smashes you. He would sometimes get very heavy with his disciples if they did some nonsense. But the general public, you know, he would try to tune into them, their wavelength, and then try and bring them from whatever position they were in, bring them to a Krishna conscious position. That was generally, definitely what he did. I was not present in the room, but I was at Bhaktivedanta Nama when Prabhupada met Graham Hill, who in those days was the top Grand Prix motor car driver in the world, Graham Hill. He was in those circles. He was the biggest man. And somehow he came to meet Srila Prabhupada. And for the first 5 or 10 minutes, Prabhupada talked to him about motor cars. And then he brought Krishna into the picture, and like that. Hare Krishna. Any other comment or question?
About dying, they really want to avoid it.
Now, in one sense, because they want to carry on enjoying in this world, but ultimately it goes deeper, that we are eternal, and therefore to die is foreign, and we just don't want it. And therefore we rebel against it. So, like that. Is that okay? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.